Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Bible Answers, right after this message. You know, Charles Lyell, good old Charlie, one of the pillars of modern geology, published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. Remember, it's Lyell's concepts that are so widely accepted today that most of the people who believe them don't even know who it was that originated them. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins has been devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes back through time indefinitely. And that way, catastrophes like Noah's flood can be strictly ruled out. And all of this is called science. Well, listen to this. Physicist Thomas Barnes points out that the Earth's magnetic field had been decaying regularly since it was first measured back in 1835. Now, if the half-life of the world's magnetic field is what Dr. Barnes has shown from careful measurements, the conclusion is this. The Earth's magnetic field would have been equal to that of a magnetic star as little as 10,000 years ago. Now, according to Dr. Barnes, to be consistent with the laws of physics and assuming that the magnetic field has continually been weakening at the same rate that we've been measuring since 1835, we can all conclude that life on Earth would not have been possible more than 10,000 years ago. Now, do you remember what our teachers told us about the dinosaurs and the dinosaurs' extinction 65 million years ago? All right, now you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do the math on this kind of pseudo-scientific lie. And it's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the guise of science. And this is one more of the many lessons in my Mosaic Law School. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can just call and order your free copy right now. The number is 417-273-4967. The Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine, send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember this, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, this week we've been answering some questions from listeners concerning the Bible. The Bible, so says our Supreme Court and our Congress from God Almighty himself, says that the Bible is the final word on law. Well, at least that's the way we practice law here in the United States. That's why we have a First Amendment. Now, of course, not everybody practices the First Amendment. So we have quite a variance in the way people are treated under the law. I haven't had very many complaints. In fact, I'm one of the few people in America that's not complaining about our socialist communist government. They're not bothering me. I don't do business with them. They don't do business with me. I live my life. They live their life. Everybody has the best of both worlds. Those that want to practice socialism and communism do. Those that don't have to. I'm one of those, and I don't. Now, when we talk about law, we have to include the theologians, because the theologians insist upon it. Now, while the theologians do not practice the law of God, they certainly have a lot to say about law. And they'll all tell you that you ought to practice Romans chapter 13, 1 through 6. You obey all the laws that your government hands down. Unfortunately, some of the laws that our government hands down violate the law of Moses. For instance, we got a law in our Constitution, of all places, that says that every 10 years we're going to take a census. God says that Israel shall not be numbered. The government comes along and says, God made a mistake and we're going to number Israel. We're going to count all you people. And if you don't line up to get counted, then we'll fine you. We'll do something bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil. And you can see that it's in Title 13 of the U.S. Code, about Section 224, 225. But in Section 225D, there's an exception written into the law that exempts religious objectors like me. So from time to time, I raise the subject of law, and I point out that if you don't want to practice the laws of the United States, those laws that conflict with the law of Moses, you can do that. That's why we have Seeger versus United States, and we have the First Amendment. Now, every now and again, though, somebody will write me a letter, and they'll tell me that this is the law. And of course, I'm not illiterate. I can look that up and I can come to a conclusion that, well, no, that isn't the law. And I'm sure that the people that write to me and tell me that this is the law and that I ought to get in harmony with it, and if I don't, I'm going to go to hell and burn for eternity, are sincere people and that they mean well. Well, some years back, I got a letter. In fact, it was better than that. I got a personal visit from one of my students, and he raised a new topic. I'd never heard this before in my life. He said that the weekly Sabbath, the Sabbath day, that we commonly keep on Sunday. You know, Christians keep the Sabbath every 7 days on Sunday, except for some iconoclasts, or iconoclasts, so we call them Adventists, and the Seventh-day Sabbath keepers. They do it on Saturday with the Jews. Oh, God, that's a terrible word, Jew. That just turns people's stomachs. And then we've got the Muslims. They keep the Sabbath on Friday, and then you got another group of freethinkers, and they say, well, it doesn't make any difference what day of the week it is, as long as you keep one day a week. You know, it could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, but, you know, as long as you keep one day. So there's four or five ideas right there. And each one of these people are sincere people, and I presume they are. And they mean well, and they get very excited. And they want you to adopt the Sabbath the way they keep it, the way they do it, the day that they keep. Well, I can't do all four or five at the same time. I've either got to come up with some sixth conclusion and do that, or I've got to pick one of the five that's available. And if I do that, then I'm going to be offending the other four or five. So it's a catch-22. You know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And if you don't believe the way I believe, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Well, this guy, he came over, and he's a nice guy, him and his wife, and he told me about the Sabbath, and it changes every week. It changes. And that's because the Sabbath is kept by the moon. Now, maybe some of you have never heard this before. I'd never heard this before, probably 10 years ago. And he said, it's done by the moon. Yes, sir. And he gave me a long treatise. Now, each one of these beliefs is always followed by a long treatise. For instance, if you wanted to show that Sunday was the Sabbath, you'd go to the Catholic Encyclopedia, and you'd get a long treatise. There's books written on the Sunday Sabbath and how it was changed and how the Sabbath is on Sunday. And I've read two or three of those. My conclusion, when I compared that with the scripture, was that it was erroneous and that that's wrong, and I didn't do it. Now, I'm not mad at you people that keep Sunday. I don't care if you keep Sunday, but I'm not going to keep Sunday. All right, that's number one. Then another guy came along and he said, it's on Saturday. And I researched that out and I read his long treatise. And I came to the conclusion that, yep, it was Saturday. And then some other guy came along and said, well, you're nothing but one of them damn Jews. And, well, okay, well, shucks, even the Pope might do something that's biblical once in a while, wouldn't he? I mean, I've never had too much good to say about the Pope or Catholicism, but, you know, once in a while. I believe that the Pope and the Catholics have it right on abortion. I've read their arguments, and I've seen their literature, and I agree with them. I think those Catholics are right on point when it comes to abortion, and I'm opposed to it, and I think that it ought to be banished and abolished, and I don't think we ought to practice it. But I'm not mad at you people that want to practice abortion. If that's what you want to do, get after it. You're not bothering me any. I don't have any compelling need to save you from your sins. If you people want to practice abortion, you pay the penalty. Same thing with you sodomites out there. You want to practice sodomy, have at it. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But don't come to me and ask me to pony up my tax dollars to find a cure for AIDS. You are the proximate cause of your own injury. See how simple that is? All right. And I get that out of the scripture. You know, God himself is not down here trying to reform all you queers. He's not down here trying to reform all you Sunday keepers. He's not down here standing the Empire State Building on its TV antenna to demonstrate to you that I'm God and I'm gonna straighten all you people out. He's happy and contented doing whatever God does today or tomorrow or next week. And he's letting you live your life and do your thing. Now, as a result of that, you know, I've come to some conclusions. And I'm sure that you have too. But when this fellow came to me and he said that he thought that the Sabbath rotated and was kept based upon the moon, he cited Leviticus 23 and a bunch of other scriptures, citing that these annual holy days are calculated by the moon. And he's right about that. So let me run through those. Leviticus 23 runs through seven annual holy days. And it's true, they're calculated by the moon. And he said, well, then it just makes sense that the weekly Sabbath should be counted by the moon or calculated by the moon also. And he may be right. Maybe it makes all the sense in the world, but just because it makes sense to you doesn't make it the truth. Just because the Sunday Sabbath makes sense to you does not make it true. Or the Saturday Sabbath, or the Jewish Sabbath, or the moon Sabbath, or something else. It may make all the sense in the world to you. And after all of these various concepts, beliefs, and ideas make sense to the people that practice it. doesn't it? Otherwise, you'd have to say these people are illogical. So I'm sure that they make sense. And all of them are accompanied by citations from Scripture. And then they always cite the Scripture that God is not the author of confusion. Let's see, now you've got the Sabbath on Sunday, Saturday, Friday, any day of the week, and calculated by the moon. Now that's five different ideas right there. And there's probably more. However, I can't practice all five to make all of you people happy, so I'm going to have to reject four out of the five. And when I do that, then you people are going to get mad at me and reject me. And that's what this guy did. He hasn't talked to me for 10 years. And then another student, he sent me this moon, this weekly Sabbath calculated by the moon. And he told my wife, he said, well, I'm never going to suggest anything to George Gordon again because he rejected it. And that's what the problem is. It's your rejection. Introverts aren't salesmen. I'm a salesman. I get rejected all the time. So what else is new? I come to you and I say, here's what I think. What do you think? No, I don't like that idea. Get out of here. Okay. So I'll leave. Salesmen have to live through rejection. So I guess we get calloused after a while. Those of us that are that 5% of extroverts that are immune to rejection. Well, I don't like being rejected either, but you know, it's part and parcel with life. And I've got to make a choice. So I made a choice and I chose Saturday. And all of the dirty innuendos that go with it. Why, you damn Jew. Okay. Well, I'm not a Jew, but then just because I'm not a Jew doesn't make me anti-Jewish, doesn't make me anti-Christian, doesn't make me anti-Mormon. But I can't be a practitioner of Mormonism and Catholicism and Judaism all at the same time, can I? I'm going to have to disappoint some of you people out there. So I wanted to tell you why. Because evidently this rotating Sabbath must be pretty important. So I researched it out and I'm going to share with you my findings. I don't know how many people practice this rotating Sabbath, but let me describe it for you as best I can, and then I'll tell you why it is that I think that it's erroneous, and then you can do whatever you want. You're not going to affect me. You're not going to offend me. If you want to practice the Sabbath on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I couldn't care less. It's just that I'm not going to do that. And if you're offended, well, then so be it. Meanwhile, back on the farm, once in a while, somebody wants to know, well, why are you doing that? Why do you do that? Why is it, Gordon, that you're so damn dumb that you can't see this obvious truth that I'm trying to share with you? Well, okay, I'm not as smart as you are. I'm not as intelligent. I don't have the gifts and the abilities of discernment that you have. And that's why I'm dumb and probably condemned to hell, because I'm stupid. All stupid people go to hell, would be my conclusion. But here's the way this thing was described to me. The Sabbath day has to be kept based upon the moon and the moon's cycles, because the annual Sabbaths are, it just makes sense that the weekly Sabbath has to be kept according to the moon. And then there was a treatise that went along with it. And I've got this big, thick treatise. It's about 80 pages long with all these scriptures in it. And I read it all. I read it all. I labored through most of it because as I was going through it, you know, all these thoughts kept coming into my mind. I thought, well, do I want to prove that the Sabbath is not kept according to the moon? Now, I'm talking about the weekly Sabbath. Do I want to prove that? And the answer is no, because it forces me to prove a negative. Do I want to prove to you that the flood was not local, that it was worldwide? No, I don't want to prove that to you. And you can go read the story for yourself and draw your own conclusions. I don't want to prove that you're wrong. And I didn't come here to prove to you that I'm right. I just came here to say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. And I don't think that it's scriptural, and I don't think that that's what the Bible teaches. But if you think that's what it teaches, well, let me get in the way of your happiness and success. I'm in a race, as the Apostle Paul pointed out. He says, I've run a good race, and I think I've succeeded. But this Sabbath has to be calculated according to the moon, and it's a pretty complex methodology. I can't repeat it to you because I can't understand it. And that's my first clue. And if I can't understand something, then I'm not going to go do it. And I couldn't understand, for instance, this tax protest. And so I didn't get involved in it. I'm called a tax protester. And I don't know why. I've never protested anybody's tax. I don't care if you pay tax or not. I'm not going to pay it, and I'm not going to participate in it. Some taxes I do participate in. When I do, it's voluntary. If I don't like it, I don't participate. You know, I have to make choices just like you do. So I had to make a choice on the Sunday Sabbath, and so I looked at it, and I made a choice. And then I had to make a choice on, well, can you just do the Sabbath any day of the week? And I looked at that, and I rejected that, and so I said, no, it ain't going to work. And then I got the Muslim Sabbath on Friday, and I looked at that and said, no, I'm going to reject that, and I didn't do that. And then I got this Saturday Sabbath, you know, this Jewish thing, and I said, I think that's correct. And my research told me that was correct, and that's my conclusion, and that's what I came up to. And so Now, I've gotten so many letters, even my wife came down and said, you know, you're a narrow-minded bigot. You make up your mind and then you don't have an open mind to somebody else's ideas. And I said, well, gosh, you know, maybe I am narrow-minded. So I read this whole 80-page plus booklet here that this student sent me, labored through it, and my wife said, now prove he's wrong. So, okay. I said, okay, I'm going to do that. So I went to my concordance and I wanted to find out, well, how many times does the word seventh day appear in the scripture? And the answer is 35, if I remember right, about that, 35 times. Sometimes the word seventh day doesn't refer to the Sabbath. It just refers to, and then the seventh day, well, Bob came in from farming and ate dinner or something like that. But there's about 20 places in the scripture where it refers to the seventh day. The seventh day being the Sabbath. And that it recurs every 7 days. So I sat down and I got the 2004 calendar out and I went through this guy's treatise and I followed this guy's program. Now here's what he does. He starts off on the first day of the new year and you count 7 days. And you don't count the first day, but you count the next 7 days. And on the eighth day is the Sabbath day. And then 7 days later is the 15th day, the 22nd, the 29th. So on this rotating Sabbath program, the first Sabbath of the new moon. So you get this new moon comes up. And I don't know whether he keeps the new moon on the full moon or on the crescent moon. I forgot now. It's probably the crescent because that's common and everybody does it by the crescent moon. But it wouldn't make any difference. However you calculate the moon, whether the new moon is the full moon or the crescent moon, however you do that. The eighth day, and they've got this worked out. It's the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th day of the moon. And that's 7 days in between each one of those days. And that's the way they calculate that. So my wife said, you narrow-minded bigot. Now prove that this guy's wrong. I said, okay, let me go to work on it. So I started with this in Genesis 2, verse 2. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. Now, in verse 3, he says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all of his work, which God created and made. All right. So in the creation account, God tells us that he rested on the seventh day. He took 6 days to create heaven and earth. It's a big job. I imagine he had a few million angels out there carrying out the physical duties. And then on the seventh day, he rested. He doesn't mention anything about the moon or that he started on the new moon or that he finished on the quarter moon. He doesn't mention the moon at all. And one of the primary methodologies of code plating is to recognize that the intent of the lawmaker was the law. So it would seem like to me that if he intended for us to use the moon to calculate this weekly Sabbath, he would have told us to. And he didn't. Now that doesn't prove the case per se, but it's a piece of evidence. All right, let me go on to Exodus 12, verse 15, where it says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now the word 7 days appears in there, but it's not the weekly Sabbath, it's an annual Sabbath, the days of unleavened bread that are being spoken of there. So if you'll go to Leviticus chapter 23, you'll find 7 annual holy days. The first and last day of unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and Last Great Day, 7 annual holy days. They're all spelled out, and those are all calculated by the moon. And I didn't make that way. I'm just telling you that's the way that game is played. And so these people believe that, well, if those 7 annual holy days are calculated by the moon, then the weekly Sabbath must also be calculated by the moon. And yes, there are things in the Bible called new moons, and there was a new moon observance. And it's mentioned in the scripture that they observed the new moon, but I couldn't find any corroborating evidence that this new moon was the beginning of the weekly Sabbath. Now that's what we call an extrapolation. They have kind of bootstrapped their way into that. And they're certainly welcome to do it, and I'm mad at you. But they're trying to sell that to me, and I don't want to buy it. So don't get mad at me because I don't want to buy your product. Go ahead, you use your product, you buy it, and you do it. And in the judgment, when you come up and God asks you about it, explain to him how you came to that conclusion, and I'm sure he's going to tell you. You're either right or you're wrong, one or the other. Now in Exodus 16:26, it says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Now he's talking about the manna here. So in Exodus 16:26 and 27, it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for the gather, and they found none, and God really got ticked off at them, and he tuned them up. I mean, he used he used a lot of bad words, and he said, see, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Now, we see here in creation, we've got the seventh day he rested, and he says, now on the seventh day of this weekly cycle, I don't want you to come out of your dwelling place. And in this article, they point out that the weekly cycle has been changed. So I researched the weekly cycle, and my conclusion is the weekly cycle from creation to today has not been changed. I repeat that. The weekly cycle has not been changed. And the weekly cycle is in the same condition that it was when God rested on the seventh day, whatever day that is, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, whatever day it was, it's still going on. Now that's my conclusion based upon my research. Now I researched this guy's paper. In Exodus 20, verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you shall not do any work. You nor your son, your daughter, your manservant, maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that's within your gates. And so in my research, I found that there are seven prohibitions on Sabbath. There are seven elements, seven indici to keeping the Sabbath. Now I got to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what those seven are. And that's the way you keep the Sabbath, is by observing those seven restrictions on your activities on whatever day this happens to be. We haven't come to that conclusion yet. So hang on. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. All right, we're back. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something's wrong with them because they've been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we now see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and they teach the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Now, are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. And let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments and even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. There's still one school left in America that still teaches this Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, commandments, penalties, and 33 benefits for their observance. 33 articulable benefits that you receive from God himself for observing the Ten Commandments. Now, I know every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that law is to suffer its effects. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, for more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now. The number's 417-273-4967. If you're online, just go to the website georgegordon.org. Click on the email. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, I said before we took our break here that there are seven elements to keeping the Sabbath. That is, it's prohibited to work. You can't buy, sell, trade, kindle a fire, do your own pleasure, or forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So the weekly Sabbath is a commanded assembly in which you're prohibited from working, buying, selling, trading, kindling a fire, doing your own pleasure, or failing to go to church, as they say today. Now, if you can do those seven things or don't do those seven things, you'll be keeping the Sabbath. But what these people are advocating is that you keep the Sabbath on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 28th day of the month, and you do it by the calendar. But the fourth commandment doesn't tell us that. In Exodus 20, verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. All right, now, it looks like here, pretty plainly to me, that we're not talking about the moon in 7, 14, 21, 28. We're talking about the seventh day after creation in a continuous weekly cycle. Now, I know. You're probably saying, well, that's dumb. You're stupid. You can't follow it. Well, okay. But we got five choices here, remember? We've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, any day of the week, or the moon. That's five choices. And, of course, all five of these groups of people will say that the other four groups are all going to hell. So my chances of accidentally getting this right, and they're only, it's 5-1 against me. It's only 1 in 5. In Exodus 23, verse 12, 6 days shall do thy work. And on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your ass may rest, and the son of your handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. Exodus 31:17. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Notice this recurring every seventh day. Every seventh day. 6 days shall you work, but on the seventh day. Notice the word the seventh day. Not a seventh day, it's the seventh day. And this is repeated over and over again. Now the word Sabbath and Sabbath day appears, I think it's 135 times in the scripture, something like that. And I went through the Sabbath also, but I won't have time to cover the Sabbath, but I'm going to cover the seventh day here 35 times, and about 20 of those times, it refers to this seventh day recurring cycle. Exodus 35:2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever does any work therein shall be put to death. So it's a capital felony, put to death. I mean, you know, you put Ted Bundy to death because he killed 20 or 30 women. God says, if you don't practice the Sabbath, you shall be put to death. The death penalty. So it's a pretty heavy duty. It's the fourth commandment. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's a little heavier duty law than, say, Leviticus 19:19, which says, you shall not let your cattle interbreed or gender with a diverse kind, and you shall not sow your field with mingled seed, or let a garment of mixed woolen and linen come upon you. The Messiah said that there are some least commandments. In Matthew 5:17 through 20, he said, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. This is not a least commandment. Sabbath is a pretty heavy-duty law. Carries the death penalty. Has seven elements to keeping it. You can't work, buy, sell, trade, kindle a fire, do your own pleasure, or forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Otherwise, if you do any one of those seven things over here, you'll be breaking the Sabbath, which is a capital felony. Man, come on, guys. In Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. So it looks like you got six work days, and then you got a Sabbath day. Then you got six work days, and then you got a Sabbath day. I mean, you know, that's what the text is telling me. It's a holy convocation. You shall not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You shall do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. All right, so here that seventh day. Now, Leviticus 23 and Leviticus 26 both start off with the weekly Sabbath, and then, let me just read it to you. I'll break in right here. This is Leviticus 23. The Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, you speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. Okay, now that's the Sabbath of rest. Now there are seven annual Sabbaths. Then he goes on to explain what those Sabbaths are for. Feast of Weeks, the Days of Unleavened Bread. Those seven annual Sabbaths are calculated by the new moon. However, the weekly Sabbath isn't. But these people say, well, no, it isn't. It's just logical that if these seven annual holy days are calculated by the moon, the weekly Sabbath is also calculated by the moon. Well, the burden of proof is on the proponent of the idea. Therefore, you got to come to me and say, well, okay, now the seventh day is calculated by the moon. And that's what they're telling you. And now you got to show me that in the scripture. And when I went through this 80-page treatise, I couldn't find that. I found a lot of scripture cited. Couldn't find the connecting link between the moon and the weekly Sabbath, the Sabbath of rest. Not the Days of Unleavened Bread, not the Feast of Trumpets, you know, not the Day of Atonement, but the Day of Rest. Not the Day of Atonement, the Day of Rest, which recurs every 7 days. But there's a little bit more. So I took the calendar and I said, okay, well, let's see if it comes out every 7 days. Maybe it does, I don't know. So I took the 2004 calendar and I started off in December of 2003, and I keep the annual holy days based upon the new moon on the full moon. So I've got my 2004 calendar here, and it shows me that in December of 2003, on Monday, December the 8th, was a full moon. So I followed the directions, and it says you don't count that day, the 8th. You start counting on the 9th. So I did. So if you count the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, the 15th is the 7th day, and that's what they're claiming is the weekly Sabbath. And it would fall on Monday, December the 15th, 2003, and then 7 days later on the 22nd, and 7 days later on the 29th. And then on Monday, January the 5th, would be the 29th day of the lunar cycle, would be a weekly Sabbath. All right. Then Tuesday, January the 6th, 2004, isn't counted. The next full moon occurs on Wednesday, January the 7th. Now, you don't count that day, they tell you. You count the 8th. So you count the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. And on the 14th day is the Sabbath day. All right, now, let's pause right here. And let's count the days between January the 5th and January the 14th. And you got to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's not the 7th day, it's the 9th day. So there's 9 days between the Sabbath on January the 5th and the Sabbath on January the 14th. And I say that's unscriptural. Now, I guess these people don't see that as being unscriptural, but I do. So I went through the entire calendar, and I discovered that every month, you've either got 8 days or 9 days between at least one Sabbath during the month. Now, it's 7 days between each Sabbath, between the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. Now, of course, this is called the 8th day. So it's on the 8th day of the month that you celebrate the Sabbath. And then it's the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. And they follow that. And they say, okay, well, the weekly Sabbath always falls on these fixed dates of the new moon. Now, if you were calculating your new moons by the crescent moon, you'd come up with the same conclusion. And that's because there's 29 and a half days, or a little over 29 days, quite a half, it's 29 days and 5 or 6 hours in these lunar cycles. I always figured, you know, if God was smart at all, he would have made 360 days in our annual travel around the sun, and then 30 days, and make it come out exact, you know, so that we don't have these odd dates. You know, it dawned on me one day, I think that God deliberately put 365 and a quarter days into the solar cycle and 29 and a quarter days into the lunar cycle so that you couldn't develop a calendar. I think that's what he did and why he did it. And then we came along and said, well, God, you made a mistake, so we're going to devise a calendar, and we'll fix that for you. You know, God ought to be thanking us every day that we've come along to fix his mistakes. So now here's my problem. Can you see what it is? The scripture tells me that every seventh day in the weekly cycle, these people say, well, the weekly cycle has been interrupted. And you know they're right. I looked back through history, and I saw the Babylonians put in an 8-day, and I saw the Romans put in a 9-day week. But just because the Catholics do something doesn't mean that all the rest of the world follows them, does it? And we're not following the Babylonians nor the Romans today. We're still following the same 7-day week that God gave us. In fact, even the Babylonians and the Russians and everybody else is following the 7-day week. It's true that the Babylonians came up with some annual holy days. And most of the people of the world practice Christmas, Easter, and New Year's rather than the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, or the Passover. I agree. I can understand that. I see that. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it scriptural. But I can certainly see what people out there in the world do. Now, as it relates to the Ten Commandments, and particularly the Fourth Commandment, which is the Sabbath, it looks like it's every seventh day. Now, Leviticus 23 gives us a little more instruction. Where it says in verse 32, this is Leviticus 23, verse 32, it says, the Sabbath occurs from sundown to sundown. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So the Sabbaths are celebrated from evening to evening. And if you'll take a look, God says in the creation account, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Well, we came along and said, well, God, you got that backward. It's the morning and the evening is the first day, and the morning and the evening is the second day. And then somebody woke up one day and says, no, I think we ought to change that. We ought to start the day in the middle of the night at 12 midnight. So we'll count it from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. I can see that. But that doesn't make it correct. And I imagine that a lot of people probably keep their Sabbaths from 12 o'clock midnight to 12 o'clock midnight. I remember that when I was a kid, you couldn't open a Christmas present until 12 o'clock midnight. That's when the day started. But then, of course, the Gordons never followed the scriptures. We never went to the Bible to find out, well, what did God tell us to do? We went along with the majority, or we figured out some new innovative methodology to fix God's mistakes. People haven't changed much. We're still practicing the traditions of our fathers, which are condemned throughout the scriptures. The traditions of your fathers. Well, I don't practice the traditions of my fathers, and I'm sure that they're all turning over in their graves, because little Georgie Gordon isn't following what Daddy Gordon and Granddaddy Gordon and Great-Granddaddy Gordon and Snyder were doing over the last 100 to 150 years. But then some years back, I accidentally looked into the scripture and said, you know, it's not scriptural. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 10, just to give you an illustration here. about can you do what you're told? And the answer is no. No, people cannot do what they're told. That's my observation, and I think you'll see it right here. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. It says, hear you the word which the Eternal speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Eternal, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They're upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. What does that story sound like? Does that sound like a Christmas tree to you? Now that's Jeremiah writing about the 7th century B.C. Well, not 7th, about 586 B.C. He's writing back here in the 5th and 6th century B.C. That's 2,500 years ago. They were practicing Christmas. They were practicing Christmas in Palestine. That is, you good Jews, you know, and you Israelites were practicing this pagan Christmas. Some years ago, I read that and I decided not to do that. So I don't practice Christmas. I'm not mad at you people that do. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to go along with you. It's unscriptural. Scripture tells you not to practice Christmas. So I'm not going to do it. Now, the burden of proof is upon the proponent of the argument. And the proponent of the argument says that the weekly Sabbath, the Sabbath of rest, not the Sabbath of the Atonement, not the Sabbath of Tabernacles, not the Sabbath of the Last Great Day, the Sabbath of rest. And each one of these Sabbaths are identified. In fact, as you go through the word Sabbath, you'll find that you've got a weekly Sabbath, 7 annual Sabbaths, and then you've got a Sabbath that occurs every 7th year, and a Sabbath that occurs every 50th year. So let's see, you got 7, 8, 9, 10 Sabbaths. 10 different statutes that regulate 10 different Sabbaths. Now, in order for you to calculate the days on the annual Sabbath, you start off with the 14th day of the new year. Now, however it is that you're calculating the new year, whether you get it from Hallmark cards, you get it from the Bible, or you get it from the new moon, or the equinox, or however you're calculating that, you calculate the annual holy days based upon these lunar cycles. And that's what I see in the scripture, so that's what I'm doing. And of course, when people write me these letters, or they'll write me something, or they'll send in a piece, they expect that I'm going to either pick up on it. I guess they kind of expect me to take this as new doctrine, but you know, I look back in history, I can't find any argument. I look back at the Quarto Decimini controversy over Saturday versus Sunday with Constantine, about 332 AD. I can find a Saturday-Sunday controversy. I can't find any new moon Sabbath controversy at all in history. So this is something that cropped up in more recent times. And like I said, I'd never heard of this until about 10 years ago. Then when my wife jumped on me and she said, listen, why don't you go research this? I said, okay, well, I'll go do it. Well, now I've completed the research and now I'm presenting it. I can't find any merit in it. And it really galls me that I have to spend a lot of hours of time proving something that I didn't want to prove to start with. But I did it anyway. And now I'm going to share the findings with you, and that's where we're at here today. Let me show you what else goes on. You turn over here to February. Now, February's only got 28 days. In a leap year, 2004, it's got 29 days. So here's what happens in February. The full moon in February 2004 occurred on the 6th day of the month. It was on a Friday. So the previous Sabbath was the 29th day. Remember, it's the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th day. And then you got another factor that comes in here, which is called once in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon. That means that there are two new moons in the same month. Well, you can't have a blue moon in February, because there's only 28 days in the month. In theory, it could occur on the first day of February, and then the 29th day of February in a leap year. Now go find leap year in the Bible, would you please? Can you find 30 and 31 day months in the Bible? You can't even find names for the months of the Bible. In the Bible, the months are named after, or the numbered rather, 1, 2, 3, 4, except for the first month, which is called Abib, which is green ears, which is the way you start the new year. When the temperature of the soil gets up to 50 degrees, the priest would go out and he'd see the barley ears starting to grow, and when he saw them starting to grow, he'd say, well, the next new moon, whether you calculate that on the full moon or crescent, is the first day of the year, and the 14th day of the first month is the Passover. The 15th day is the day of unleavened bread. First day of unleavened bread, 21st day is the 7th day. I mean, and that's calculated, and it describes it. I can find that in the Bible. I can show you that story. But You can't find this weekly Sabbath calculated by the full moon in here. Even though you got this 80-page treatise in here, and I'm sure that when people get through reading all these treatises, I'm sure that when people will read a treatise on Sunday and Sunday keeping, oh yeah, I see all the scriptural references, that must be true. And then you've got the Seventh-day Adventists, they come along, and the Jews, and they write a long, lengthy treatise on the Sabbath being on Saturday. And you get through, oh God, that must be true, look at all the scriptures they're citing in the Bible. And then some guy comes along and says, oh shucks, you can keep it any day of the week as long as it's one day out of seven. Okay. And they'll cite scriptures, and they'll tell you their story. And I'm sure that the Muslims have their story. I haven't read their story yet, but I'm sure they've got a story too. And it makes sense. And it's scriptural, because they're citing scripture. But don't you know that Satan himself cites the scripture off point and out of context? You know, in Matthew chapter 4, Satan came to the author of scripture, Jesus himself, and cited the scripture off point and out of context, and the Messiah corrected him. Corrected him. So, I don't think that you should be moved or swayed by every wind of doctrine. And that's what Paul had mentioned there to Timothy. He said, you know, these people are moved and swayed by every wind of doctrine. The scripture says, prove all things. And that's what I'm trying to do. Now, if I'm dumber than the rest of you and I'm unable to pick up on this new truth, well, then I'll have to wait until the judgment and have God correct me. But if you follow this through, you'll find that the Sabbath occurs on the eighth day, then the ninth day, and then the seventh day. And then the seventh day, eighth day, and the ninth day throughout the year. And I did it for every month in the year. You've got a weekly Sabbath here in March 2004, they claim is on the 29th day of the month, falls on March 5th, the weekly Sabbath. Then you've got the first day, which is the full moon on the 6th. Then you count 7 days to the 13th. That makes 8 days between March 5th and March 13th. Am I right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days. Now when I read the scripture, it says 7 days, not 8, not 9. All right, there's the story on the rotating Sabbath. I did my research, and now I've reported it to you. I'm out of time. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Well, there's the signal that says my time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.